and being very, it's like, I need these curettes, I need these debridement kits. Please do not wait until the last minute when you're out of the supplies. There is a problem in the supply chain. One of the Medline buildings, actually out in California, burned. So it's really affecting all over the United States the availability of us getting the supplies. We only have so many supplies in the office. And sometimes when we send them out from the office, it does take a little bit extra long. So you'll probably see, I've told all the other two girls in the office to make sure they're also sending rulers. Rulers seem to be a big thing that everyone runs out of. And then my last thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and it was announced, so we do have our CE provider number. So that's something too for education. If you're rounding and you see some issues, maybe with the treatment nurse or anything, you can mention that when you're doing your review of your documentation, your declines, whatever, with your DON. You're right in front of them. Remind them too that we have a CE program and that the regional managers will be providing them all the specifics of that very soon. And that's all I have. Are there any questions?
Okay, I will run through my agenda items for the evening. We have now started to run some new reports. These reports will help us ascertain, how many procedures are being completed, what patients may qualify for advanced modalities. QAPI, we have a QAPI report that identifies patients that have been on our service for more than 75 days. This is a huge impact for the facilities, because after 100 days, they own all the wounds. It's that changed this year, so we have to be mindful that we're healing things out. If you apply compression wraps like the three-layer Cobane or Una boots, make sure you're documenting such so you're getting paid for that. In the comment section, you can just clearly put, three-layer compression applied by yourself. However you want to state it is fine. It just has to be documented so you get the credit and you get the accurate payment. We're still working on our clinical pathways. I have the pressure injury ones pretty much complete. Samson and I are finalizing them, and you guys will re be receiving them within the next couple weeks. MIPS 2026, nothing has changed. So keep working hard at that. Keep reviewing meds to make sure that you have your aspirin, Plavix, Coumadin, Eliquis, Xarelto for your CAD and AFib, and any ACE inhibitors and ARBs that they're on need to be documented also. That's all I have for this evening. Do you guys have any questions about anything that I reviewed? Okay, Milt, you're up.
Okay, so I've got a few things that I wanted to address. First, I don't know how many of you know Dr. Rubinstein, but he's been an AmeriWound wound care provider probably 10 to 12 years, something like that. I don't know, Josh, you could tell me different.
Probably closer to 10, but
Okay,
feels
10
like
years.
12.
Okay. Since Dr. Karamadi has gone to California and is only serving in a partial capacity, mainly doing certain aspects of the role, Dr. Rubinstein has assumed the role of providing guidance to providers in how they practice in terms of looking at things that are going on and seeing how we can improve. And to that extent, one of the areas that he's going to be extremely focused and has already started the process on is if you will, coaching and guiding providers who may not be completing their visits with procedures where they're indicated, as an example, i.e. debridements or any other, procedures where it's called for, not, just, automatically doing it, but there are many times where it is called for. And we have been monitoring this and have now are getting reports, and we've seen candidly over the years a steady decline in procedures. And some of it's probably because we've got some new staff or and things have changed. And it wasn't an area that we really focused on the way we probably should have. But we decided we need to because A, we're getting a lot of feedback, and Alyssa can add to that, from facilities that in a number of the facilities feel that we've just become like, caretakers, versus, doing palliative stuff, and babying wounds rather than addressing and healing wounds. And they're looking for more debridements, as one of the measures because they're being held to task by CMS, et cetera. It affects their scores and quality initiatives as well. And we, over the years, we used to be at around 20% way back, and where most of the industry was actually even higher. We decided we were just going to be a little more conservative, and that was not a big thing. But most of the industry was between anywhere from 20 to 30 to 35%. We've shrunk all the way down to like 5%. And we have providers that are sub 1%. And that is getting a lot of scrutiny from facilities. And if we don't address it and take care of it, we'll have a lot of terminations, from facilities. That's not. We are considered a procedural specialty. Nursing homes have told us that. That's why we hire you guys or contract with you guys. And we've become more of a palliative type of specialty. And we've got to change that. We've got to get back into what we're supposed to be doing when we see patients. And I'll let Dr. Rubenstein, Josh, address that a little more of certain things when he sees inpatient cases where it's appropriate and preferred that you debride from both a quality and wound healing perspective. But additionally, when you're not doing that, folks, you are leaving your own income on the table as well as ours because just completing a visit and not doing all of those things really downgrades that visit, which means we get reimbursed at a much lower level than we should, and that we're eligible for. And again, we're not asking for people to do things inappropriately or to, create procedures where they're unnecessary. But again, this is a specialty that's been created that is supposed to address performing procedures. And that's what we need to be focused on, doing them when appropriate, and not avoiding it and just, putting things like MetaHoney on a wound. Basically years ago, we had conversations with a competitor, that wanted to, in a sense, almost merge with us. And one of the things that they pointed out, when we were at 20% is, oh, that's too low, for this. They said, their medical director said, when you see necrotic tissue, you debride it. You don't do anything else. That's what it's supposed to, Now there's not one single way to debride. Of course, there's surgical, there's chemical. Now there's also the ultra, I mean, there are different things. So it's not a one size fits all, but. And that's what we've seen with virtually all of our competitors, is that same approach that if you have necrotic tissue, you debride. And what we're seeing is not that much of that, with quite a number, of our providers. And we've got to address that, improve on that. And so with that, I'm just going to, first turn it over to Dr. Rubenstein to comment.
To me, it's a no-brainer. If there's any necrotic tissue in the wound, you take it off. It's better for the patient, it's better for our company, and it's better for you as an individual. I don't know why it's not being done all the time. It should be around 20% at least. Anytime you have necrotic tissue in the wound, you take it off. Simple as that.
What about biofilm?
Biofilm
So,
needs to be removed too.
yep. Any chronic wound, even if it's all granulation, so you cure at it. Get rid of the biofilm, and that's a debridement.
To piggyback off of what Milt and Josh, were just speaking about, and it's interesting because, Milt has talked about some of the increased concerns that have been brought to our attention nationally. I actually have a call with a facility this Friday to review their quality measures because they're not satisfied with debridements, like advanced modalities, whether it's a Miro 3D, a graft. So I have to meet with their entire clinical team, regional and higher, and go over the patient caseload and figure out what would be appropriate. If it's dry stable eschar on the foot, we're never going to ask anybody to remove it because that shouldn't be. If you know that a limb is compromised, get ABIs. If it's severely compromised, you're obviously not going to do a procedure unless there's an infection, because infection does dictate and warrants a debridement. But we at a corporate level are having to answer to our customers at a higher rate now than we ever have because of, wounds being on service for 500, 600 days, sometimes more than 1,000 days. We have to answer for this. So you are going to be getting a lot more education and, a lot more one-on-one time, whether it's with Josh, myself, maybe Stephanie F. But these, we have to be. We're not asking you to do anything immoral, illegal. We're not asking you to do debridements that aren't legitimate. We're just asking that you do appropriate wound care.
Okay. So that's really, the big part. Yes, I know that one area that we all are feeling, well, most of us, or a number of us at least, are feeling the effects of what's happened on the biologics front, where that got cut back 90%. But there's still some reimbursement out there. So that doesn't have to be an area that's totally forgotten. It's still an option, but there are some other areas that we as a company are also looking to get into, that are, in a sense, have been overlooked, although there are areas that we have utilized for years. As an example, collagen dressing. There are competitors of ours that have learned that they don't just need to write a script for it, they can fulfill that themselves. And so that's an area that we are looking at. We have not yet finalized anything, but we are absolutely looking into that. There was a period of time where we used to pay more attention, if you will, to, let's say, PCR. Orders, and now there are ways that that can lead to other things, because the results that come up, every time you swab a wound, there might be some other factor there that could lead to other areas that we should be paying attention to. So these are all areas that we're now looking into. From first and foremost, a quality standpoint, because there are things that we might be overlooking if we don't. And then secondly, some of these areas are going to be monetizable, that will benefit you, will increase the complexity of some of these wounds, and how they're classified. And so we're going to be focused on all of that. And we're not going to just totally ignore the biologic. We know it's not as lucrative, but it is what it is. It's still an add-on to whatever it is that was there before, because we weren't doing any of it until, a few up to about 3 years ago. So, we're just not throwing everything out, the baby with the bathwater. We are looking at how we adjust to the new approaches that CMS is mandating and requiring, and that facilities are expecting to see from us, because if we don't do it, they'll find someone who will. And we've already seen some of that happen, unfortunately, where we've lost some business because of some of those things. And we don't want to see that happen again. I have an expression, if you will. It's not necessarily tied to anything I just talked about, but in general, an approach on dealing with facilities that I think we all should take to heart. The client is not always right, but the client is never wrong. And that's an approach. Even if they are, we can't ever make them feel like they are wrong. We can try to guide them into understanding what we need, but as soon as we call them out, we get a termination notice. It's as simple as that. So that's a food for thought in how we have to approach these things. And one of the things they're now saying is because of QAPI, because of all kinds of quality assurance and reporting requirements that they have certain expectations of us. And we have to fulfill them, or they will filing a company that will. And right now, one of those is we do need to up the procedural basis, when we perform, different types of procedures, debridement's being paramount in that. And again, we're going to be looking into other avenues of that, including potentially UltraMIST. Don't know that that will really be the right thing or not, but we're going to look into it. It's not for every situation. It's not a substitute. It's an addition for certain types of patients that, let's say, have insufficient blood flow, or are having some other their bleeders or anything like that, where you can't perform a surgical debridement. It allows for that patient to, in a sense, have a type of debridement that's just non-surgical. So anyway, those are the things that we're looking into. Hopefully it will make things a lot better. Hopefully all of you will benefit, as will the company financially, and then the patients will benefit from a quality and healing basis, and so will our facility clients. That's really all I wanted to cover, so I'm open for any questions.
Just so everybody is aware, the emails that you're going to be receiving to schedule time with Dr. Rubinstein will have patients attached. There will be anywhere from 10 to 12 patients. Come prepared, review those patients so you can discuss them with Dr. Rubinstein. Perhaps you've tried a debridement and maybe they didn't tolerate it. Or, you send an IVR for an advanced modality and it was rejected because of a payer. Anything that's applicable, please bring to the table when you have your discussion with him, because he wants to talk through these patients with you and see, help, give you assistance with debridements if that's possible. Second, if you need help with debridements, you need additional training, reach out to Stephanie, Dr. Rubinstein, or myself, and we will figure out how to get that for you. That's all I have. Okay, any questions?
I have one more thing. I just realized I Should have made an intro. We do have a new person that's on this call, and that is Maury Sukoff, who is a new member of the AmeriWound team right now on a part-time basis, and his focus is on helping us grow the greater New York metro area, basically New York City and in its environs. But Maury has a background, having worked with Gentel, with Curatech, and by training actually is a podiatrist. So, welcome, Maury.
Thank you, Milt. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, we thank everybody for joining us tonight and reach out to any one of us if you need anything else. Have a good evening.
Have a
Thank
great
you.
evening.
Thank you.
Yeah.